tremendous joy to be with you. We've heard about you. Your reputation has come to San Diego. And we just want to commend the Bardens and Pastor Kevin for having a vision for this wonderful community. And we've come primarily to say thank you for your prayers and your support. And over the next three meetings, I'm going to give you some testimonies of what your prayers and your giving have brought forth, particularly in India. Amazing situation we have in India right now, and that is that in many, many places there is the worst persecution we have ever seen. But along with that persecution is an incredible harvest of souls. And it's a phenomena that I guess we first saw in China, that as the people were killed and imprisoned, it just, the blood of the martyrs brought forth the harvest. And India has now reached the population of China, probably overtaken it. And so we have God moving and bringing in souls in the two largest nations on earth. Now think about that. If the harvest is coming out of persecution and coming out of the largest nations, know that it's only the beginning of what God is going to do. I just want to share with you two things tonight. Number one, the miracle of this book. It has become an international bestseller. We have it translated in about five languages like Spanish and Japanese and some other unusual languages. But I want to tell you the heritage that comes with this book. 40 years ago, when we were in India and beginning the establishment of churches, we had a burden that our people would learn to be worshippers. We had a people coming into the churches who had been idol worshippers. That's what Hindus are, and India is a Hindu nation. And they were coming into the church, being born again, spirit-filled by the Spirit of God. And having come from worshipping idols, it was our desire that they worship the living Christ and experience His presence. And so we were ministering in Australia. And during that time, our hearts were so much for the young churches being raised up in India. And Graham had heard a phrase. Somewhere along the line, one of his friends had said to him something like this, a challenge to a Bible teacher. I wonder when it talks about the tabernacle of David, I wonder what God's talking about. And Graham has been a lifelong student of the Word, and he decided that he would seek God until God gave him a revelation of what he meant by the tabernacle of David. And I'm telling you because he won't. One day in a hotel room, he was on his knees. He had a sheet of paper in front of him and a pen in his hand. And he cried to the Lord. He said, "Lord, I must have revelation of your presence that I can take back to the churches in India." And as he cried unto God, God began to open the Word so much so he could not write quick enough. And this is what he wrote 40 years ago on his knees. And I want to tell you that this is the first book that was ever written on David's tabernacle, and it was written for our churches in India. Graham took this message back to India. We had this book. This is now the 10th printing. The 10 printings ago, it was first written and printed for our churches in India. And as a result of that, we saw them come into worship. We saw the presence of the Lord in our services. I want to tell you, he paid a price for this book. Because when certain ministries got hold of this book, they wrote him some very nasty letters and said things like, "Don't ever think of coming back to my church again. You are not welcome." They used terms like, "You need to repent. This is false doctrine." He paid a price, but he held to the truth. And today, those same pastors are teaching David's Tabernacle in their church. I want to tell you what it means to me. It means God presencing himself with us. When we began the church in San Diego, we moved directly from India to San Diego. And when we began the church there, our whole goal was the presence of the Lord. To bring our people into that where every service's presence was manifested. I'm going to tell you just two stories from that, because God is going to do something unique in your midst as you study this book. Not because my husband wrote it, but because it's a revelation that is going to burst in your heart. And you're going to be changed and you'll never be the same again. Because every time his presence sweeps in, he does outrageous stuff. First of all, my husband, who is a musician, raised up in our church a very fine orchestra. And on Sunday mornings, we had a wonderful orchestra of many, many instruments. We had a full choir. We had expressive worshippers, as much as we'd had learned from the Pullman Church. One Sunday night, the orchestra were not expected to be on the platform on Sunday night, but if they wished to be, they could be. One Sunday night, we had just maybe one third of the orchestra on the platform, and then we didn't have our choir, so we were in worship. And as we were worshiping, I guess it was maybe a half of the church of what we would have had on Sunday morning. And as we were in worship, and I'm not a musician, but suddenly it seemed like the platform was filled with an orchestra at least three times what we had, and these amazing heavenly voices were filling the sanctuary. I'm not making this up, folks. And one of the saxophone player, wasn't it? I was standing in the front row and I heard this. And I opened my eyes and the saxophone player was trying to get my attention. Like this, signaling to me. I went, right, I can hear it. And so I went racing back to the back of the sanctuary, and I said to the recording people, I said, get this recorded. I tell you, I wish I had it for you to hear. It was a magnificent sound. And I realized that heaven was joining the earthly worship. Now, once you've been in something like that, you'll never be satisfied with anything less. What is the result of the presence of the Lord in our services? It is this. People will walk in the door and know that Jesus is in our midst. I have seen in a church in London, in an Anglican church, you couldn't get anything more formal than that, English and Anglican, very dignified, where they have the presence of the Lord. People walk in the door and in 3 minutes are on their knees repenting of their sin because of the presence of the Lord. We had a young homosexual student from the University of La Jolla come into our service, and he was there a few weeks, and in the middle of worship, God convicted him. And right there, he repented of his sin. Not only did he repent, but God changed his life. The young homosexual that walked in with all the affectations walked out a dignified man. We didn't even have to re-educate him. He suddenly knew how to walk. He knew how to be masculine. He is the most dignified, beautiful Christian you could imagine. And God set him free like that, in a moment. His father is a leading psychiatrist in Beverly Hills, his only son. And he came down to thank us. And we tried to explain to him, no. We didn't do anything, and it was the Lord Jesus. He sat up all night with us, wanting us to explain to him logically how this life transforming happened in his son. Oh, it's the power of his presence. In each service, I'm going to tell you one little story from India. Just a very few short years ago, a young Hindu couple came to the Lord from what we would call, what do you call the towns where the Hindus go to do pilgrimage? A holy city. It will have a river where they go and wash in the rivers, and that washes their sins away, supposedly. And there are holy cities throughout India, and people will travel, you know, 1,000 miles to get to a holy city. This young couple came to the Lord from Hinduism, from that town, and were brought into one of our city churches and were trained for the ministry. I've never seen such an anointing and transformation upon ex-Hindus who were totally delivered and in love with Jesus. They just shine for him. But they had a very, very sad situation, which was a bad, bad testimony in this holy city. And that was, as they began to begin to win souls to Christ, and we were thrilled. We saw a church beginning to come forth. They now have about 40 ex-Hindus that have been delivered and in their church. It just shines with the wonder and glory of the Lord in that little church. We built them a building. It's just wonderful. But anyway, their testimony was very much, what can I say, they were struggling because the wife was not able to have a child. Now, from the Hindu religion, that means that, you know, she's done something really, really bad not to be able to give birth to children. And her dear little wife, she's so sweet. I'll show you her picture tomorrow night. She began to pray and she got pregnant and had a miscarriage. And this happened 3 times. And she went into such depression. And she said, maybe God, the gods, were punishing her because she had become a Christian. These are the thoughts that went through her mind, although in her heart of hearts she knew that that was not so. But as she became desperate and began to seek God, the Lord said this to her. He said, little one, I give you a promise that 6 months to this day, I will give you your own child. Huh? Did I hear? Not 9 months, 6 months to this day, the Lord said, I will give you a child. I'll tell you about it tomorrow night.